Blog Talk Radio.
Better late than never. Sorry about that there. You're tuned into the Marketing Pulpit International New York edition with yours truly, Dennis D. Shipman on the mid-ike. I was literally on the road 5 minutes ago and, you know, racing to the house I don't want to say as safely as possible because you can only do one or the other. Either you're going to race or you're going to drive safely. So I was racing back to my house where I have a sort of auxiliary studio to make it in time for the show, and I apologize. Those that want to tune in, by the way, you can call us at 215-383-3872. Again, that number is 215-383-3872. 3872. And, you know, before we get started, I just wanted to say that we're expecting some really bad weather here in basically up and down the East Coast. Right now, it's 62 light rains, and we expect the rain to follow us throughout the week. But Thursday, they're saying today that the current hurricane, which is off the coast of Hurricane Florence, by the way, which is off the coast of South Carolina, is expected to hit today at some point. And they're saying that it's going to literally travel up the East Coast and especially impact the Mid-Atlantic, where I have my homes, you know, both vacation. I have a primary residence down there, even though we are primarily based in New York. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. Those that are traveling, travel safely. Have all your emergency supplies, medication, identification, cash, no credit cards, because in the event of an emergency, if you can even get to a bank or a store or anything, the electricity might be out. So you have to have the old green. And, you know, I have started again to try to carry at least $100 in my wallet at all times, not for petty cash or for purchases, simply for emergency. And I keep backup license, social security card. Don't take medication, but if you do, you should also have medications and copies of all other important documents, birth certificate, passport, even your will and that sort of thing, because you never know what's going to happen. You can't take anything for granted. You know, with the frequency and severity of these storms over the last couple of years, or increasing in severity, you need to be adequately prepared. And one of the things that I do in my alternate life is CERT, which is Community Emergency Response Team, and I'm on several CERT teams. And they're extraordinarily important. They're just below the level of first responders. They get called out as an extension of the police and the fire department in the event that we experience a natural catastrophe that's so overwhelming it taxes the resources of first responders. So it's like we're like the backup squad. Then they call us out and we're trained in first aid and preparedness, you know, communications and that sort of thing. We can act as the eyes and ears and of the police and, you know, render first aid. And so we act as an extension of the fire department, EMS. And, you know, it's a very, very important, worthwhile cause. And we urge you, wherever you're at, there's bound to be a CERT team, Community Emergency Response Team. You can typically locate one through the Office of Emergency Management, so contact your local Office of Emergency Management. It's not an overwhelming obligation like the fire department, certainly not if you're in law enforcement. Volunteer fire, volunteer EMS, which I was for a number of years, typically has a 40-hour per month obligation. I used to get it out of the way basically in a weekend. I was working for the state of New York at the time as a social worker upstate, so I used to go down to the squad that I was volunteering for. They had a dorm, and I still had family in the area, so I would split my time primarily between the dorm and my family and friends or whatever I wanted to do at that point. And knock out my 40-hour obligation typically in a weekend or two weekends in a row, and then I would be free the remainder of the month to do whatever I wanted to do. But I think it's important, and I want to dedicate this show to volunteerism, you know, given the fact that we have another impending storm, Hurricane Florence, which is on track to hit the East Coast on Thursday, but it's gathering steam as we speak, and is basically 100 miles or so off the coast of South Carolina. It's important that you get involved. Again, not an overwhelming obligation like volunteer fire, volunteer EMS. So it doesn't toll your time, and certainly when you're on duty, you know. A lot of people don't understand your obligations to the squad. You know, I had a boss years and years and years ago. This is well before I started in the state service, and I just happened to be in the area. I didn't live in the area where I volunteered. I grew up there, so I had an affinity for the area. But at any rate, I decided to volunteer in the area. And as a consequence, I was working in the city in Queens, and so there was an accident. I just happened to come across the accident, so I called it in a 911 because you can't self-dispatch. And the dispatcher, you know, I gave her my shield number and my EMT number, both, and she said, "Are you going to remain on scene?" And I said, "Yes, of course, I will remain on scene until fire or PD arrives." Now, in the area in which I was an EMT, the police are all EMTs. They're trained EMTs in Long Island. You know, there's nothing secret about it. On Long Island, Nassau and Suffolk County Police Departments, as part of their training, are trained EMTs. And some go beyond that and become critical care and paramedics and that sort of thing. So at any rate, once the bus arrived, the ambulance, I believe it was from our squad. I don't even know if I waited around, to be honest. I mean, after PD got on scene, I didn't wait around for the bus to see who was going to respond. I went on to work, and obviously I was late. And so my boss, the social worker, who was a, you know, elderly lady, I think she was one of these people that had gone to school after her children became old enough to fend for themselves. And so she was quite elderly, you know, at the time. And so she wanted to read me the Riot Act. And it escalated relatively quickly because I was telling her that, well, you know, I'm sorry that you don't understand. You know, I mean, I was respectful. That is was my boss at the time. But I said, if I am called out in my capacity as an EMT, I am under a legal obligation to remain at the scene and render care until a person that is equally trained or has a superior level of training can relieve me. She wasn't going for it. And, you know, like I said, the situation escalated really badly, and she wound up attempting to fire me on the spot. Fortunately for me, her, and for the agency that I was employed by, it was South Queens Park Association, and we were the social work arm of that organization, the boss knew I was an effective case planner. I wasn't a social worker at that point. So she intervened and overrode the supervisor, that's how the story ended. But the point, the larger point I was trying to make is that, you have to make sure that your bosses understand the significance, and not only the significance, I'm sure that they understand the significance, but understand your legal obligation, if you just happen to be working in the same area in which you volunteer. If not, that was a rare occurrence, you just happened to be in the area and you're scheduled to go to work that day, then you have to make sure that, your boss understands that, a medical emergency, unless there is someone that is equally trained, you literally have a legal obligation to remain on the scene. So at any rate, I just wanted to share that. And again, those that are, in the city here, the Brooklyn, you're in a low-lying coastal area, you need to be extremely careful because you can anticipate flooding because it's going to be raining. This is Hurricane Florence. We are getting the rain. All week it will be raining. So the ground will be saturated and the water tables will have risen substantially. And so you can expect that if you're living in a low-lying area or area below sea level, that you can expect significant flooding. So what I've done, in addition to being prepared, is I've also invested. I know I overspent for it because it was used, but it is really a heavy-duty generator. And I need to clean it up, but I'm positive it works. I haven't, tried to start it yet. It's still in the back of my SUV, which I use for this very purpose. I use it for hunting and as my daily driver as well. But at any rate, should the electricity go off or that sort of thing, we don't have to rely on our vehicles, even though I try to tell my family members to keep your car full of gasoline, because if the electricity goes out, again, if you go to the pumps, those pumps are driven by electricity, so you will not be able to get gas. So it's not just a matter of topping off your tank, just to top off your tank. It's a matter of topping off your tank because in the event that electricity goes out, the pumps will literally not work. So what I brought the generator for is for a similar reason, that in the event that the electricity goes out in the house, and I want to get one for my houses, we can just start it up and kick it on and to keep everything running for a while until electricity is restored. And I say this, I emphasize this, and it just struck me, it just came into my head, into my spirit. And the reason I'm saying it is because it is, as we continue to experience global warming, it's important that we prepare for it. I mean, literally and figuratively speaking, I gave you some examples of how you prepare, duplicate IDs, duplicate legal papers, cash, all in waterproof bags, extra, always top off your tank, that sort of thing. And if you can afford it, a generator for your house, a jump kit, which is emergency first aid kit, and learn how to use it. The American Red Cross has some excellent courses, Salvation Army. As a matter of fact, I have to contact them because they sent me a letter. I got rid of it because I try not to keep a lot of papers around. But they have been trying to contact me because they do really good disaster response work. And I wanted to, lend. I, I'm too old and I have too much going on to give, like I said, the 40 hours a month any longer. But certainly, I wanna be of, I've always been into volunteerism. I believe it's important to give something back to the community. And I was toying with the idea of becoming a firefighter, in Maryland, but a lot of things turn me off with the process. And I don't, and I just decided that it wasn't the way to go. I mean, I've been there, done that sort of thing. And it made me come into the realization that that season may be over for me, but I can still volunteer in this other way. So I don't have I have the email for the person that I was trying to contact, but I don't have the letter with the information that whoever the captain or the major over in the local Salvation Army wanted me to call or contact someone. Because they need volunteers, they really do. And unless you're a really dastardly person, I mean, you have a horrendous background, a sexual offender or something like that, or felonies, most of the time they will welcome you with open arms, I believe that, I can't speak for everybody. I understand young people have families. They come home from work and they want to spend time with their family. I get that. I get it eminently well. But most of the firefighters I know, they grew up in a family where the father, the uncle, the older brother was a firefighter. So they typically, they don't have those sort of inhibitions, and they are willing to, even when they get married and they start having a family, they're still willing to involve themselves in volunteerism, either in fire or EMS or even as a reserve sheriff or reserve police officer or whatever. I'm not sure, in New York, here in the city, they have reserve police officers and that are still around. Most of the counties surrounding New York City have reserve components of their police department. So even if you didn't want to do the fire EMS piece because you have abhorrence of blood or that's just not your thing, do the reserve thing or work a soup kitchen or counsel a child or mentor a child or do something. Just get involved. All right, enough about that. We're almost at the end of the show because we got started late here, but I just wanted to talk about this because it's important, because of global warming, that sort of thing, which people deny. Unfortunately, I hope they don't deny it to their chagrin because it is real and the science is unequivocal. Let's see if we can find the control panel here. I don't know. I have all these screens open up. Like I said, I walked in relatively late, and I just really hopped on the air as quickly as possible, and I don't see the control panel because I was going to go to a commercial, but I think that we have so little time. Well, let's see. Let's see if we can pull this up. This doesn't want to work for whatever reason. Okay, here we are. There was a lot that I wanted to get to, also relative to the Trump administration. There's a bombshell that really fell on the Trump administration over the weekend. I believe it hit either Thursday or Friday, where someone allegedly in the administration authored an op-ed piece that the New York Times published, Trump's arch nemesis, and it was scathing. administration didn't basically tell us anything that we didn't already know from the Michael Wolff book, from reporting by CNN and, you know, a lot of other major print and television outlets, or the current book by Bob Woodward and, you know, Amarosa to a lesser degree. It just basically confirmed everything that we already know, that the White House is governed by chaos, and there are a number of highly placed people that are preventing Trump from exercising his caprice in the decision-making processes that may cause us cause the destruction of the world, frankly. I mean, you know, there is no way that anyone can justify, I don't care who you are, Trump being in the White House. The man is not fit for office. We all knew it. He is absolutely amoral. He's a brazen liar beyond everything else. So those are the two major issues, okay? You know, but this is troubling in and of itself also, if you think about it, because, one, you have unelected officials subverting the will of an elected president. Now, I'm not saying that to defend Trump. I'm saying it to defend the office of the presidency, because the man has degraded the office to the degree that you have these people that are willing to subvert the will of a sitting president, which is frightening if you look at it in its implications. Just think about that. So are we now setting a precedent, no pun intended, where unelected officials, highly placed bureaucrats, maybe members of his own administration, are actively, will actively thwart the will of an elected president in the future if they disagree with a policy position that the president takes? And these are the unintended consequences of this expose that came out on either Thursday or Friday. So it's frightening. And one of the pundits on Chuck Todd's show, I used to listen to Stephanopoulos on Sunday, but he used to take so much time off for whatever reasons that I got bored with, you know, and I'm not saying Martha Raddatz or his other co-anchors didn't do a stellar job. They did. I was just, you know, but when you're used to a certain person being at the helm, you know, and they're not suddenly not there for whatever reason, they want to take time off, spend time with the family, whatever. So at any rate, I started watching Chuck Todd. So one of the pundits, black guy, I can't think of his name, but he said he was frightened. I'm not frightened, but I think that, you know, we're teetering on a precipice of disaster here with this guy. And he should have never been elected. And, you know, I know it was a perfect storm. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk more in the coming weeks about this whole administration until he is literally out of office. And that's what we pray will happen. In the interim, we want you guys to keep safe. You know, as you know, Hurricane Florence is working its way up the East Coast. It's going to hit the Carolinas probably today or tomorrow, and the Mid-Atlantic by Thursday. And we could see remnants of it here in New York. In meantime, you know, hopefully everyone stays safe. Other on MPI. Tuesday through Saturday, mainly from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And Fridays we have Gatewood himself, terrestrial, I believe, WOLAM, out of Washington D.C., flagship station of Radio One. Meanwhile, take care and.
coincidence. People living in fear.
It's
no coincidence. They the ones around here.